Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Your host, Greg, will have smart discussions with friends, experts, and thought leaders on customer experience, transformation, and leadership. Please follow this podcast on your preferred platform. I am sure you will enjoy the next episode with the guest I selected for you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the CX Goalkeeper podcast. Today I'm super thrilled because I'm going to discuss with Jim Tincher about do B2B better. But before we kick off this discussion, hi Jim, how are you?
Excellent. It's a great Monday morning here in Minneapolis.
Thank you very much. And we as the audience are super thrilled to listen to this podcast, to discuss with this podcast, in this podcast where with you, because I think B2B, it's also extremely important. It's extremely relevant. And I'm really keen to get some insights from you. Today, we're going to discuss about your latest book, Do B2B Better. But before we kick off this discussion, we would like to learn more about you. And therefore, Jim, could you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Jim Tincher, founder and CEO at Heart of the Customer. And we are a CX consulting firm. I talk a lot about B2B, mostly because B2B is underrepresented. Everything I talk about is applicable to B2C as well. It's just that there are a billion case studies on Warby Parker, on Target, Best Buy in the US, and the B2B side is underrepresented. But you know, I'm passionate mostly about how do we create great experience for customers that leads to a healthier business. And that last half of the sentence is what I found is mostly missed by our tribe, is that tying it back to creating a healthier business. And that's what I'm mostly passionate about.
Super cool. Thank you very much. Really thrilled to ask also the next question, because we want also to learn a bit more from you as a person, as a human being. Which values drive you in life?
And it's really about community is a big part of that. Outside of, you know, obviously I do a lot with the CX community. I'm on the CXPA board of directors. It was the second CCXP. I do a lot with the CX space. But also outside of that, in my neighborhood, I'm part of the Rotary Club of North Minneapolis, put on an annual brewery and bike ride to get people to know more about the city. I've been involved in projects such as, for example, in maternal health for Black mothers. Really about creating a community and having impact in that community. Now, most of my life, that happens to be in customer experience, but I also put on an annual barbecue where 100 people come, learn more about North Minneapolis, and have community together. So really, community and creating impact in that community is where I begin.
Thank you very much, Jim. And because you are speaking about communities, let's perhaps not start now with your book, but speaking about communities. I see in Europe, and I would like to your view on that. In Europe, communities are really growing quite fast. People with same values, with same ideas, getting together and then supporting themselves. And it is something that I always use as an example. A lot of people go to Amazon and then read all the comments and the feedback and the reviews of the books, of stuff buying. The people they don't know, and they say, oh, 5-star reviews, okay, I will buy that. And now thinking in our community, I am a soccer fan, following soccer quite a lot. And if somebody is asking me something related to football, then we are already friends and we are trusting each other. The last time I met in Zurich, a Chinese guy had the big logo of my preferred team and asked me a question, and I helped him. I told him, let's go there, I can help you. What's your view on communities also in future?
Well, community is where everything begins. And that's one of the things that I love about CX. One of our clients, Hemi, is with Marvin Doors and Windows, and we helped introduce her to CX. She came from a design background, and she came to the CXPA Leaders Advance last year, and she talked about how blown away she was with the community, with everybody who wants to help each other, to help each other get better. Even within competitors, I often see that the customer experience leaders want to help each other improve. And so it's really been something that I get a lot of energy around. In addition to the national or the global board of CXPA, I'm also on the organizing committee for the Minneapolis CXPA. And I tell you, that's some of the best times I have is getting together with our CX friends here in Minneapolis.
I can confirm that because I'm in board of the CXPA in Switzerland. And we are six of us. We are helping each other creating nice events, a small group, but really interesting. And what I really like from the CXPA community is if you have a question, you can put there in the CXPA webpage. And within a few minutes, you get a lot of answers, different views on specific topics. And several times I really received valuable feedback that I was able to reuse also in my daily job in the hospital where I'm working. But now let's really kick off this discussion. Do B2B better, drive growth through game-changing customer experience. You wrote this book in 2012, and I think you have a lot of feedbacks, but what I really would like is, can you please highlight a key strategy from your book that B2B organization can leverage to enhance customer experience and drive growth?
You bet. So it's been out for a year and a half now, but the message is really consistent that the number one message from there is that CX matters, but nobody believes you unless you prove it. If you want to create more impact, and that's what our community is all about, creating more impact with our businesses, you have to talk less about customer outcomes and more about the business outcomes that come out of that. And when I speak on the findings from the book, I have the world's worst chant. So I'll have the group do a chant. I have this part of the group will say, we want to create an outcome where customers want to. And this group will say, spend more. And this group will say, stay longer. And this group will say, interact in ways less expensive to serve. The world's worst chant. But those are the three outcomes we need to change our talk track to be about that, to show how not that promoters stay longer. No, that's not at all actionable. But specifically, what in your customer experience leads people to want to spend more? And then it's often something different. What else in your customer experience leads them to stay longer? I'll talk about research probably today where the drivers of churn are often very different for the drivers of spending more. And again, then what are the drivers to support be less expensive to serve? If you find, for example, a lot of people are switching channels on you, that's usually from digital to analog. That's a real cost for you. It's also annoying for your customers. It's a bit dated, but the CEB had research showed that 57% of people calling contact center tried doing self-serve first and failed. 56% of them are annoyed at having to call you. And so it's a bad outcome for everybody. But what we need to do is change our talk track to be more about the business outcomes created by customer experience instead of the customer outcomes.
Yes. The only thing that I can confirm that because from my point of view, and I don't want to be unpolite with you and with the audience, but we are in our CX bubble and we discuss about customer journey harmonization, customer journey management, customer management. I don't know, but the business don't really care about that. And our customer are irrational. They have different emotions where when they are interacting together with us in B2B or in B2C. They have also important relationship with us, and you cannot plan everything. And therefore, I really think that proving the return of what we are doing, of what we are preaching, is extremely important because at the end, it's clear. The CFO is sitting on the budget, and if you want your change in initiative in CX implemented, and we know on the long term, it makes totally sense. But on the short term, you want to implement that, you need to convince the CFO. And then you need to talk his language and speak about business result and not about NPS, customer satisfaction scores, and all this stuff. Therefore, I really like that. And we are also speaking about some challenges. What are the primary challenges in B2B companies that they encounter when they're implementing the CX strategies? And how would you tackle that?
Well, just real quick to talk about the level of challenge. My data, this is not specific to B2B. B2B is a little bit further behind. But I first kicked off the book, the research, after Customer Think came out with research showing that only one out of four programs can show any financial or competitive benefit to their work. I thought, wow, that's really low. My research had it at 23%, so essentially one out of four. More recently, Qualtrics' XM Institute shows that three out of four programs either very poor or poor at connecting financials. Separate from that, Qualtrics' value group, using a completely different data set, people who are at their sessions, again has 3 out of 4 are weak or very weak at connecting to financials. And so it's really hard to have impact if you don't do that. And it's just not our talk track. Now, we are the only part of the organization that for data, we use surveys. Okay, or maybe, you know, text analytics or voice analytics, but it's really, it's soft data. And the rest of the business sees it that way. And they don't really care about the drivers of NPS. So the challenge is actually first talking to finance. I know that's scary. I know there are different kinds of people who don't really see eye to eye with us because they're looking at different data. But when every year IBM asks CEOs, which executives we rely upon most in the next year, the number one answer every year is the CFO. If we're not talking to finance, if they're not validating that what we do matters, we don't have the ear of who matters. Now, Gartner last year did some research and they asked CEOs to just top of mind list your top 3 initiatives for next year. Where do you think those involving the customer fell? Number 1, number 2, it was number 9 out of 10 that they reported. They're not thinking about the customer, they're thinking about the outcomes. Number 6 was cost control. Well, customer experience is a very strong impact of cost control, specifically driving self-service. Reducing claims and complaints, better customer experience creates all that. And number 1 was growth. Now, Greg, how do you grow without customers? Clearly, you can't, but they're not thinking about the customer journey, the customer experience, NPS. They're thinking about customers who are spending more and staying longer. And if you're over there talking about survey results, yeah, they will smile, they will nod, they'll say, that's fantastic. Thank you for giving the information. Then they'll go talk to the CFO and the COO and others about what really matters. In that same survey, they found that the, I think it was 57% of the time they said, who's most important? On the IBM survey, they said the CFO was 56% was the COO. So essentially tied. The CMO was down to something like 20%. And the chief customer officer wasn't on the list. So if you're spending your time talking to the chief customer officer and the CMO, know that, well, your CEO might care. It's not where they're going to invest their time, energy, and resources. That's going to be on financial improvements. And so you need to be able to link to that. And that's the biggest challenge we have is that we don't like to talk to finance or operations. We're not comfortable with real data, behavioral and operational financial data. And so we stick talking about surveys.
Yes. And you're speaking about surveys connecting data, hard facts, soft facts. But you mentioned in the previous answer also drivers of churn, drivers of spending more, drivers of NPS. Could you please elaborate a bit on that?
Sure. So the first, I found 4 actions of a change maker. And the first one was connecting to financials and showing the financial impact. So let's look at a B2B to C company. And nobody talks about B2B to C. We did analysis. Nobody Googles that. They always Google B2B or B2C. But we looked at a B2B to C organization, insurance company. So it wasn't car insurance or auto insurance, but let's use that as an analogy. And we looked at what causes churn in an agent. Now, we looked at the 2022 churn. We did this about a year ago, as well as buying more. And then we said, okay, great. There's not a lot of churn here. So let's look at, did they tell us anything the previous year that might predict that churn? So we looked at the 2022 behavior and then the 2021 survey results. And we looked at what were the customers telling us that could have predicted either churning or buying more. Now, the first thing we did is we asked the leaders of the organization, the senior executives, to predict of these 42 questions in the survey, which of those predicted what we care about, which again were churn and spending more. We did this before doing any analysis. And the answers came back that it's commission and product. They care about what they get paid. And they care about things like the best rates, the lowest fees, all product related. That's rational, makes sense. Let's see what the data tells us. What we found is what we did is a driver analysis against churn, or actually a correlation analysis. What is there that predicted the churn? And we found the top five items. So yes, commission mattered. Not a surprise. If it hadn't, you'd question the methodology. Commission matters. It was the second highest driver. But numbers 1, 3, 4, and 5 were broken experiences. Things that were causing frustration, such as slow response times, frustration on other processes. Those are the top five drivers of churn. But then we also looked at that other outcome. Remember the three outcomes I talked about? Buy more, stay longer, interact in ways less expensive to serve. Well, their data wasn't good for the third one, but we were able just to look at sales data for the first two because they bought nothing. Okay, that's a churn for a whole year. But what was it about the people who bought more? We found is that commission was not a predictor at all. Also, the broken processes, those were not predictors of spending more. The best drivers of spending more were areas of feeling supported. I have materials to help me sell better, sales and marketing materials. My account manager has my back. That the drivers of churn were broken processes, drivers of frustration. The drivers of spending more were feelings of being supported. And you take a step back, well, that makes perfect sense. If you look at elementary brain science, I am not a neurosurgeon. I never pretended to be, but elementary brain science, the part of the brain that deals with frustration is a very different part of the brain that deals with delight and happiness. This leads, by the way, to the second action of a change maker. The first is connect to financials. The second is often the best predictor of those financial outcomes is emotions, as you mentioned. And so what we found was that you can't create delight and high loyalty by being less frustrating to work with. They're different. We worked with Dow, the advanced manufacturing giant chemicals, and we were working on their complaints journey. And when I first met Dan Futter, who wrote the foreword to my book, he was the chief commercial officer at Dow. He told me, Jim, my goal is to create a complaints journey that's enjoyable. I said, Dan, that's not how I expected that sentence to end. And that was a little bit of a curveball for me. They talk more about that. Well, if you go to their public-facing stock page, Dow says, we aim to create an experience that is easy, enjoyable, and effective. And so they measure those three things. For Dow, can't speak to others, for Dow, Net Promoter Score does not predict anything of interest. If your survey scores do not predict those three outcomes, spending more, staying longer, interacting in ways less expensive to serve, then stop measuring them because they don't matter. Well, Dow didn't know at the time, but later on, they did the analysis. They found that when customers say it's effective to work with Dow, no behaviors change. When they say it's easy to work with Dow, still no behaviors change, despite all the talk of an effortless experience. But what they found is that when a customer says it's enjoyable to work with Dow, a whole host of behaviors change. Customers spend more with them. The order velocity goes up, how often they order. The number of different products they order go up. The likelihood to purchase across multiple business units goes up. And the home run for Dow, joint innovation, that goes up when customers say it's enjoyable. Now, I want to take a minute to be a little provocative. I'm guessing a lot of your listeners have read The Effortless Experience and are focusing on creating effortless outcomes. I love the book. It's a very interesting book, but if you're trying to apply its findings to the whole experience, you've been misled. If you go back and reread the book and look at their methodology, the methodology for the book, Effortless Experience, is entirely focused on the contact center. It does not speak to the overall experience. And that makes sense. Hey, if you're a customer of Dow's and you're having problems on your plant where the materials are not working right and you call them, they say, hey, by the way, how are your grandkids doing? That's bad. No, nobody wants to do that. At the time there's a crisis, time when they're calling in for support, it's all about being as easy as possible. But if we look at the overall experience, as Dow has found, for them, enjoyability is the best predictor of those outcomes. Buying more, staying longer, interacting in ways less expensive to serve. Now let's take a step over to UKG. And these are case studies in the book, so I can talk more about them because they gave me a lot of visibility to their operations. For UKG, they're a software company. They do payroll, benefits, other types of processes. For them, it's confident. They have found that if a customer is confident in UKG, they're far more likely to use self-serve, less expensive to serve. They're also far more likely to purchase more products, buying more. They're also, their churn goes down, but churn isn't too high for them because pulling out your entire payroll, that's hard. So, but they have found that, again, for them, confidence is the best predictor of those outcomes they care about. Buying more, staying longer, interacting in ways less expensive to serve. That's a long answer to a short question.
No, but it's extremely interesting. And perhaps also my interpretation of what you are saying and sharing, these are companies that structure the process in a very smart way, because they said, how do we want the experience to be related, effort, enjoyable, easy, and structured by that? And then they are trying to understand which are the drivers. And this is something that I don't see so often in companies. They define their strategy, their overall strategy. They define perhaps also something like a servicing strategy or a CX strategy. And then they start implementing stuff completely independently from what they define in the different strategies. And I think this is key. And you mentioned that very well structured and extremely clear. And for me, the question that I would have now is, okay, you have the strategy, you have the to-be experience you want to offer to the customer. How can you measure that, that it's working? And you will really see that what you defined, it's really also working.
Well, you're leading me perfectly, because the third outcome of it, a change maker, remember, number one is connect to financials. Number two is measure emotions, create an emotional North Star for your design target. Number three is measure the journey through the customer ecosystem data. And that is the behavioral, operational, and financial data. And by the way, number four is use deliberate change management, which ties in. Almost none of your stakeholders will get promoted because of a better customer experience. That's nowhere on their KPI list. But they do have KPIs like, for example, reducing inventory. And so you need to connect these. And so what we found is the change makers, but let me show you what a hopeful does, because the change makers are the one out of four who can prove their work matters. Hopefuls are three out of four who hope their work matters. And one of our clients, they asked in their survey, this was an auto insurance company, have you filed a claim in the last 6 months? You should never ask your customers that, because you know the answer. It's in your data. And we looked at the actual results, what customers said versus what the data said. Very little relationship. People can't remember if they filed a claim in 6 months, 9 months, 3 months. They also asked, have you called customer service? Their data showed that if somebody says they called customer service, they say they will be more loyal, which is not at all true. In fact, CEB found that if somebody calls your contact center, they're 3.93 times more likely to be disloyal than they are to be loyal. We all love the story of customers call in with a problem, you fix it, and they become more loyal. It's not true. Individuals, they do, but you're creating a far greater risk at that call. Your best outcome is to prevent the call. And so that become one of the pieces of data. Dow found that one of the best predictors of decreased spending was an unresolved complaint that went past a certain threshold. At my first Do B2B Better conference, Ricardo Porta, who leads customer experience for Dow, he spent 25 minutes walking through the answer to one question. So a challenging president of a business unit asked him, what's the role of inventory in my business? Might seem like an odd question for a CX person, but he said, and what does CX have to say about it? Most of the attendees will think, I have no idea how to answer that question. Well, Ricardo has access to the data, and so he was able to answer it through a combination of sentiment, behavioral, operational, financial data. And what he did is that, first of all, you can't connect inventory to behaviors because inventory is general across the business. So we need a way of converting that to a customer metric. He used availability to promise. It's an SAP metric that when somebody calls in and says, I need 1 million pounds of this chemical next week, can I say yes or no? Univar, a distributor of chemical products, found that's one of the best predictors of customer outcomes is availability to promise. So let's start with that. When the inventory gets to a certain threshold and availability to promise turns to no, that started to create outcomes. Now, you're not expected to say yes every time. Somebody wants 1 million pounds tomorrow, you're going to say no. But there's a threshold. Once availability to promise drops to a certain threshold, then confidence in Dow as a supplier drops, as does enjoyability. So we've started with an operational metric, availability to promise. We then move into a sentiment or a CX metric, confidence in Dow as a supplier. Now, again, there's a threshold. When confidence drops below a certain threshold, then they see decreased future orders, a piece of behavioral data. Now, again, it's not linear. There's a certain threshold when it drops. Then it's the easy math is that when future orders drop, well, the link to EBITDA is very straightforward. Now, when he was done, the room just felt overwhelmed. In fact, in surveys, we measure emotions. Overwhelmed was one of the top emotions. That inspired because that felt impossible for most to have that kind of data. What they didn't realize is that Ricardo has spent 3.5 years building the data to get there. He could not have done that in day one. They had to build the infrastructure. But that's what we found is the best customer experience programs talk in data, which is what the rest of the business talks in. If I were to summarize the entire book into one sentence, it would be that hopefuls, again, those are the ones who cannot show their work matters, 3 out of 4 programs, they talk about sentiment. Change makers study and change behaviors, which then links to financial outcomes. That is the key thing I want all your listeners to think about is, are you studying sentiment? Were you analyzing and changing behaviors? Because remember, the fourth element of change maker is change management, using deliberate change management. So you link everything you're doing into specific leaders' KPIs. Because if you can teach them new things about their business, such as Ricardo did about inventory relating to EBITDA, that's when you can become a change maker. And it is doable. It just takes a very different and deliberate approach.
I think I need to ask this question. Let's double click also on this 4-pillar change maker. Could you please elaborate a bit on that?
Sure. So what we do, the great programs, they start with an outcome the business cares about. I like net revenue retention, which is a combination of churn and spending more or less changes in spending. So you start with that. Say, what does it matter to the business? Again, the CEO doesn't, your CEO cares about customers. But number 6 is change, is cost control. Number 1 is growth. And number 9 is customer. So they start by talking about what the business cares about. Spending more, staying longer, interacting ways less expensive to serve. They then find that emotions are the best predictor. Now, I'll tell you, I get a lot of strange looks when I talk about measuring customer experience in B2C. B2B, definitely. You can't just go to your CFO and say, hey, I want to start measuring confidence or trust or anything or enjoyability. Yeah, they'll look at you pretty cross-eyed. You have to start with the data and say, we know that customers say they have trust in our business, spend 15% more, and churn 3% less. Now you've got their interest. So that's the next thing. Emotions are typically the best predictors of those financial outcomes. But what causes emotions? Typically, your operations. I mentioned Univar, they create a synthetic NPS because 95% of their customers don't respond to their surveys. And so they use 1,000 pieces of the data, but the 3 most common, and so Sam Wegman talked about this at our conference. She showed us their dashboards, are availability to promise, on-time delivery, and complaints. They use the data to understand what's creating the emotional connection, which leads to the financial outcomes. And then the 4th one is using change management so that everybody gets involved. So you're able to connect customer experience to individual leaders' KPIs because that's what they most care about. All of your stakeholders want to be told they're doing a good job, and most of them want to be promoted. If you can't show them how customer experience creates either of those 2 outcomes, Well, they'll give you lip service, but they're not going to do anything different. But if you can connect it, for example, Ricardo showed how the right level inventory creates those outcomes, then they listen. Now, we have a case study I work with Dow. They have another case study on their work with Qualtrics. And with Qualtrics, they were able to put in the financial data. They wouldn't put it in ours. Because Qualtrics went first, and said, wow, that's a little bit more exposure than we expected. But they're able to find that by understanding the trade-off between inventory levels, customer sentiment, and their behaviors, they're able to free up $1 billion in free cash flow with a B. That's a pretty cool outcome for customer experience work. And we can all do that. It just takes a change in our mindset, and it takes a few years to get the data right. But there's that old saying, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. It is possible to start today to understand what are the financial drivers of the business and how does CX predict it. Your very first step is the scariest one. It's to set up time with finance. See, how are they measuring it? And how does my work lead to those outcomes? Second step is meet with operations. It gets easier after that. But that's how to get started today.
Thank you very much, Jim. You spoke about 20 years ago. You spoke about now. We are running out of time. But in the extra time, in the last 3 minutes, we are going to speak in 10 years from now. We are back on the CX Goalkeeper podcast. What we are discussing about?
You'll have renamed it. Because the best companies don't have a CX vision or a CX strategy. They have a business strategy that involves the customer. You'll probably call it something more like the customer goalkeeper. Customer experience should not be a separate outcome. It is more about business strategies. CX should be a business discipline that fits in. There probably still will be CX people, but it's not going to be the silo it is today. It's going to be incorporated into the business. And we're going to talk about strategies more about how to eke out that lower cost to serve a little bit more from optimizing customers' emotions. We'll be talking more about that. We won't be saying, hey, go talk to finance, because maybe, just maybe, the CX leader reports into finance. On the CXPA last month, we were building a vision about 10 years in the future, so very similar. And we talked about a situation where the board says we need to reach out to the CXPA. And how does that happen? And in our vision of the future, it's the CFO who says, we're going to make a lot more money if we create a better experience for customers. Let's reach out to the CXPA to learn best practices. That's the kind of conversation we'll have in 10 years. Is not about let's start getting involved finance. It will not involve net promoter score, customer effort score. It will not, those will leave the details. It'll be about how to create more EBITDA through a better customer experience. That's what we'll be talking about in the future.
Thank you. And I think if somebody would have a question around what we discussed, what's the best way to contact you?
Well, I'm very popular. I wish I was more popular. Very active on LinkedIn. Connect with me there or shoot me an email at jim@heartofthecustomer.com. Look forward to any comments or questions.
Thank you very much. And I hope that after this episode, you will get very popular on LinkedIn.
Thanks. We can hope. Thanks, Greg.
And the last question is, Jim's golden nugget, it's something that we discussed or something new to leave to the audience.
Everything in the business starts and ends with finance. That is what creates a healthy outcome. If you are not meeting with finance regularly, at least monthly, then you're almost guaranteed to be a hope. By creating those great relationships and letting finance present your data, getting them to want to, and creating the outcome where they're actually sharing your data, that's the home run we all want.
Thank you very much, Jim. It was a great discussion. I hope that the audience enjoyed this discussion as much as I did. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for the opportunity. I love our community and I love creating impact together.
And also to the audience, thank you very much for your time. I hope that you enjoyed this discussion. See you next time, next week with the next episode. Thank you and bye-bye. If you enjoyed this episode, please share the word of mouth. Subscribe it, share it. Until the next episode, Please don't forget, we are not in a B2B or B2C business, we are in a human-to-human environment. Thank you!